Grace to and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that not a surprising way to introduce Jesus? I mean, think about it. The Word was God. And as you know, words are powerful, right? Have you noticed that? Okay? Words can inspire. A kind, encouraging word, that can put a new spin on the day, can it not? A put-down, unkindly spoken, it can be played in one's mind for a whole day, for many days. Or if it was hurtful enough and it was repeated enough, it can be there for a lifetime. Words can ruin reputations. Words can hurt. I don't think there's much truth in that old saying, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I don't believe in that one. In the beginning was the Word. What words do you say to yourself? What words that have been spoken to you do you replay in your mind? And what is your inner dialogue like? Do your words to yourself pull you down or lift you up? So one of the stupid things I did in my life, I do a few, you know, was I would get out of the pulpit pretty much every Sunday for about the first 25 years or so and say, well, that wasn't good enough, Dennis. Every Sunday. I got over that one. Okay. So what words do you let into your life each day? This is very important. What or who do you pay attention to? And what do these words tell you about yourself and others? What do these words tell you about the world? Do you make sure there are some words from God each day? Do you have some good words from God memorized so they're just always there in your head? So the words we let in and we pay attention to, they affect what we think, what we do. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Sing with me. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. I think you know this. Hymns and songs are one of the ways to let God's words in, right? And the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. God became a living human being in Jesus, full of life, light, forgiveness, truth, and grace. And as you know, that's what the Christmas season is all about. You've probably heard this one before. Martin Luther wrote, this is the Martin Luther from 500 years ago, you know, okay? Martin Luther wrote that the Bible is the cradle wherein the Christ child is laid. Now, as I said, the words you let in and you pay attention to, they affect what you think and do. So what words do you let in? So as we begin this year, 2026, may we daily let the Word made flesh full of grace and truth. May we let in that word. Now, Shalom's mission statement, it's printed on the front of your bulletin there. We believe God's calling us to invite people into a deeper relationship with Christ, that they may discover true peace and be prepared to follow him in compassionate service. Now, these words reflect many things in Scripture, but one that it reflects is Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Luke, okay? So Jesus said, "Thus it's written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, to all peoples." That, Jesus says, it's our mission. It's to let the light of Jesus, the word, to shine through our lives, through our words and our actions. Or as John describes it, "In him was life, and the life was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." It's a dumb thing to ask, but what's the first thing you do when you walk into a dark room? Right? You switch on the light. We instinctively do that. None of us want to, you've all done this one, stubbed your toe when it was dark, right? I think that's a common human experience. So light just helps that. Or there might be a chair in the way. When we reach for the word of God, the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the example of his life, we're reaching for that light switch to turn that light on. Not only that, Jesus calls us in our baptism to let his light shine through our lives, through our words and our actions. Or as the Shalom mission statement states it, to follow Jesus in compassionate service, letting the light of Jesus shine. So you've heard of confirmation, right? Okay. Yeah, we could talk a lot about confirmation. We won't do that. But there's five promises that we make in the confirmation service called affirmation of faith. So it's called affirmation of faith because we're saying yes to our baptism in that confirmation service. So if I'd have the next slide, there's five things that we promise or that we commit to as followers of Jesus, as his people in response to our baptism. To live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Now, when you look at those, it's like, I'm overwhelmed, right, with that? But together, that's what we're about as God's people. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And then I love this phrase in that passage we read, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." I love that image. Actually, in my life, it's grace that's really why I'm still alive. Because when I was 20, I was thinking about doing away with myself. And when I figured out unconditional love and forgiveness, made me want to live rather than not. We have all received grace upon grace. And so I picture God's grace just being poured over our heads all day long. God's just pouring the grace. Grace is God's free, loving gift of forgiveness and relationship. Naturally, we don't always feel it in the problems of the day and all that. But that bucket's always pouring over your head That was a promise in your baptism. So grace means God loves us no matter what, right? And God seeks to help us figure out then how to love others. Well, that's a hard job sometimes. So to show God's grace to others in our words and our actions. During announcements, you'll be able to cut me off whenever you want to, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the work of the Synod. Pastor David asked me to do that a little bit today since I'm on Synod staff. But anyway, the Synod mission statement starts with grace. Freed by God's grace to be wholly devoted to Jesus and our neighbor in love. And then it goes on, our mission is to nurture safe and healthy spaces for the ministry of the gospel to unfold and shape an abundant future for all. And it says in northwestern Minnesota, but I think it's bigger than that. Faithful in relationships, authentic in our welcome, love that makes a difference. So the Synod statement, like the Shalom statement, it tries to capture in words the Word made flesh, full of light and truth for our troubled world, and encouraging us as followers and congregations in living out God's love for the world. So, what words do you let into your life each day? And what do you pay attention to? And as you know, words make a huge difference in our lives. Where would we be without light to show us the way? And grace, unlimited love and forgiveness, it makes all the difference. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, full of grace and truth. I'd like to close the sermon with the mission statement, okay? So pull out your bulletin and we'll read it together. We believe God is calling us to invite people into a deeper relationship with Christ, that they may discover true peace and be prepared to follow him in compassionate service. Amen.